Well, good news for food lovers. The BBC Good Food Show Summer is back at the NEC in Birmingham from Thursday the 15th to Sunday the 18th of June. And it promises to be a spectacular with some top cooking talent right across the show. And among them is one of the world's best. It is, of course, the brilliant Michelle Roux, who I'm delighted joins me on the line. Michelle, great to catch up with you again. I know that I'm speaking to you while you're at La Gavroche and prepping for service this evening.
Yeah, that's right. You've caught me red-handed, and it really is it's wonderful. I love being in the restaurant. It's where I feel at home, and I'm going to make you jealous now because I can see the cheese board in preparation right in front of me. In fact, I can smell it, and it's making me hungry.
Absolutely, and we've talked about this before, Michelle, but you are a big fan of good cheese, obviously, but also you champion English cheeses.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I mean, when I took over from my dad back in the late 80s and early 90s, the cheese board was 100% French. Occasionally, there'd be the odd Stilton on there, but that was it, and maybe a bit of cheddar. But now, it's 50-50, half-half, and sometimes more in the favour of British cheese. And because British cheese has come along leaps and bounds, and the quality is unbelievable.
Absolutely. I can't remember who it was, so blessed are the cheesemakers. Might have been Monty Python, actually, but there we go. Now, we've got a fantastic show to look forward to. We always enjoy the summer show. What do you look forward to most about the show? Because you're on the Big Kitchen again, doing what you do best.
I was about to say sunshine, summer and sunshine, but that's not always the case.
So what are you cooking? What are you cooking this time around?
This time around, I'm cooking a lovely summery dish. So I've got red mullet. So red mullet, very, very simply pan fried with a touch of olive oil. I'm serving it on a bed of courgettes, which are obviously in season, and a touch of cream, just a tiny little touch of cream, because it's French, isn't it? So we've got to put a touch of cream in there. Mm. And I'm actually even pimping it up with a pinch of curry. And I'm serving with that bread made with cornmeal and cheese on top, funnily enough.
Interesting ingredients. Now, I remember, I think it was last Christmas show, the winter show, you did a cod with orange. And I thought, hang on a minute, orange? That's not the sort of citrusy type fruit that I would put with fish. But it worked brilliantly. Classic French cuisine, which is your heart and soul, where your background is, Michelle, obviously. Things that people don't expect to go together often are the most surprising, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, it really is. So this particular dish with just a tiny, tiny little pinch of curry, you can't really taste the curry. It's just there, background notes. And that's, to me, what, you know, cuisine and cooking is all about. Just using those little ingredients as a seasoning, and that's what I'm doing with the curry powder. There's also loads and loads of basil. I mean, it's basil time of the year, isn't it? Courgette, basil, red mullet, oh, delicious.
Mouth-watering already. And highlights the international flavour of the show, doesn't it? Because we've got Caribbean cooking with Sean McAnuff. Nadia Hussain often brings her twist to things. Kwok-Ling Wan is there doing Chinese. I mean, it's not just sort of classic French, Italian, whatever else. There is a real spread of cooking styles.
Well, I think that represents Great Britain. I think, you know, all of these styles and all of this beautiful cuisine that's sort of coming together in this wonderful boiling pot of and that we can call now, I think, this British cuisine. And it's taking influences from, you know, all over the world, which is wonderful.
You spent some time at the Mandarin Hotel in Hong Kong, didn't you? And Hong Kong has quite an eclectic food scene, but obviously heavily influenced from the region. Did you take away many sort of regional things when you left there?
Gosh, it was a long, long time ago, Steve. I was a young man then. I was a young chef, very, very young. But I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Hong Kong, and I've been since several times. And I do love Hong Kong. It's just got that wonderful buzz, and the street food is amazing, and people are very, very passionate about food there. So no, it is one of my favourite destinations. I learned a lot there. I learned a lot about different ingredients and different cooking techniques, and steaming a lot and using a wok, or how to use high heat, for example, So, yeah, it was so much to learn. And any excuse to go and revisit is glad for, I gladly take.
Absolutely. BBC Good Food Show at the NEC, that date for your diary, is Thursday the 15th of June until Sunday the 18th of June. Lots of information on the website, bbcgoodfoodshow.com/summer, particularly about how you can buy tickets, who's going to be appearing there. And remember that the tickets also will get you entry into BBC Gardeners World Live. Now, BBC Gardeners World Live doubles up with the show, Michelle, which means people are going to be going outside. Summer's coming. Outdoor cooking. Top tips.
Oh, gosh. Outdoor cooking? Yeah, take time. Don't just spark up the barbie and chuck stuff on it. Make sure the barbecue is hot enough and the embers have... you've got nice embers and not flames. I think that's a common mistake on barbecues, is just not being patient.
And that's where you end up with chicken charred on the outside and raw in the middle, isn't it? We don't
Correct,
want that.
Yes, and then a very, very dicky tummy the following day.
What sort of things do you put on the barbecue at home, though? I mean, everybody imagines that a 2 Michelin-starred chef, world-renowned, does something very special on a barbecue. So what do you serve up on the barbie at home?
Yeah, well, let me think back to last weekend, because actually the weather was really good last weekend, and I did have a barbecue with my wife, son-in-law, daughter, and little grandson, and we had some ribeye steaks. I love a ribeye steak because there's a little bit of fat in there and it's full of flavour. So we had ribeye steaks, we had pieces of aubergine and courgettes and mushrooms grilled on the barbecue as well. What else did we have? We did have a couple of burgers as well that we bought from our local butcher. So burgers, steaks, and sausages, of course. You've always got to have sausages on a barbecue, haven't
you? You've got to have sausages on a barbecue. And my plan for this year is I've done a course and I'm going to start making my own sausages. So that's going to be great.
That is very, very good of you. Very brave. Well done.
As well as the food, what wine do you have with a barbecue? Lots of people say, oh, well, there's no point in buying expensive wine because it's just a barbecue and everybody has beer.
No.
But there are some great wines to go with barbecues, aren't there?
Some very, very good. Now, I did push the boat out, I must admit, that I popped open a bottle because it was like a belated birthday get-together for me. So I popped a cork on a Raff Finney rosé, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's a great, great English sparkling wine. And then we had a bottle of French Provence rosé, which was equally as delicious, really chilled. And it's perfect wine for a barbecue.
Absolutely. English wines, English sparkling wines particularly, have come on leaps and bounds, haven't they?
Oh, my word, yes. And I'm a huge fan of English sparkling wines. And in particularly, I have got a soft spot for Raff Finney. And it is really excellent.
Lots of people, Michelle, obviously, are finding it difficult at the moment to fill the shopping basket because prices have gone up and they are looking to eat well, but keep an eye on what goes through the checkout, keep an eye on the pennies. What advice would you give to people who, are looking to do some budget cooking?
Yeah, that really is a hot potato at the moment, isn't it? It's very, very difficult. But with food prices, skyrocketing and still going up, it's food inflation is absolutely crazy. I suppose the best way is to eat wherever you can, eat, shop locally, eat local and seasonal. And if you do that, then that will, if for the most part, be cheaper than eating out of season. So at the moment, English asparagus, English strawberries are coming in, things like that. The beans as well, English beans, runner beans are just starting or just about to start. So think local as much as you can.
Absolutely. Now, you're cooking on the big kitchen stage, which is huge and is a real piece of theatre. And there's some other great names with you, James Martin, Ainsley Harriott, Nadia, who I mentioned. The Hairy Bikers are there. Paul Ainsworth, bringing the Taste of Cornwall up. Your old mate, Glyn Purnell. Some tremendous names there. And I was just looking at your website for chefs that have been through Le Gavroche. And it really is a roll call of names that we know. I mean, Gordon Ramsay, Marco Pierre White, Marcus Waring. I mean, big names that have gone through, and you're still there. Not, you know, 50 years the La Gavroche has been open. That is quite something, Michel, isn't it? How difficult is it to keep that going, that standard going?
Yeah, Gavroche opened in 1967, so it's been a long, long time. So, yeah, I suppose it's staying true to your roots. So we're still very French, based on the classics and classic technique. But we've modernised over the years, so we haven't stagnated, and we're still very relevant and still very popular, thankfully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned at the top of our chat, you know, you are one of the world's great great chefs, and I wonder sometimes, because we've spoken a lot, and I find you a very honest and very humble man, and I wonder whether or not when people say that about you in terms of world class chefing, does that sit comfortably? Does it sit heavily on your shoulders sometimes?
I never ever take it for granted. Anything like that, never ever take it for granted. And whilst I feel a little tinge of embarrassment being called that, or being perceived as that, it's always nice to hear.
Absolutely. BBC Good Food Show Summer at the NEC in Birmingham, Thursday the 15th to Sunday the 18th of June. You can see the brilliant Michel Roux on the Friday, and lots of information from bbcgoodfoodshow.com/summer. Remember, tickets get you into BBC Gardeners World Live. Lots of information on the website. Michel, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to catch up with you, and I know you've got plenty to do for server this evening. Just before you go, though, I know that there's lots of trade stands at the show, not just the artisan producers that bring stuff as well, but I think, as you and I have mentioned before, there's some people who bring gadgets along. I love a kitchen gadget. come on, what's your favourite kitchen gadget or a time saver? I mean, everybody's got food processing things, but have you got something which is unusual or something you've had for years?
No, I was just thinking about you. You'll be on the lookout for a sausage maker, won't you?
It's a good point. Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I'm not huge on gadgets. I prefer the basics. So, you know, a really good sharp knife, quality knife, maybe food processor or something like that. But no, I'm not really into my gadgets. I'm old school.
Old school, and may it stay that way. Michel, many thanks.
Cheers. See you soon.